Welcome to Torat Imecha, Nachyomi, with the Women's Initiative of the OU. My name is Dina Rabinovich, and I will be learning with you the Mizmorim composed by Asaf. Asaf composed a total of 12 Mizmorim, the first of which is here in Mizmor 50. The next 11 will begin with Mizmor 73 and continue through Mizmor 83. When we learn a chapter of Tehillim, there are several general questions we must ask in order to better understand the Mizmor so that we can better understand its message. Who is the speaker? To whom is he speaking? What is the occasion for which he is speaking? What is his topic? And what musical instruments, if any, are being used? In our Mizmor, the speaker is Asaf, who, according to Divrei Hayamim, was the head of one of the three houses of the Leviim, who worked in the Mikdash and a chief composer during the time of David. The Midrash Seder Olam Rabbah lists Asaf as one of the 48 Nevi'im, or prophets, whose words were written down and preserved for future generations. Ibn Ezra, Rabbi Avraham ben Ezra, a Spanish commentator, in his introduction to Sefer Tehillim, notes that Asaf lived during the time of the second Beit HaMikdash. This will be one way of understanding the Mizmorim, where Asaf refers to the destruction of the Mikdash. Asaf speaks on a wide range of topics, including the need for just verdicts from the judges, the plight of our enemies, what we need to learn from the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt, and his reaction to seeing the wicked flourish in this world, better known as the question of divine providence. While sometimes he uses musical instruments, in this Mizmor, Mizmor 50, he does not. A note about how this Mizmor is organized. It consists of three sections, an introduction with a revelation of God who has come to judge the people, a middle portion which has words of rebuke about the practice of korbanot and the practice of the wicked, and its conclusion. And now to answer the questions. Who is speaking? Asaf. To whom is he speaking? Asaf is speaking to Bnei Israel, who seem to have come to the Mikdash. What is the subject matter? A call to arms against improper korbanot and how the wicked are being involved in slander. Let us begin with the subject of korbanot. Korbanot seem a very unlikely topic for a Mizmor of Tehillim, and in order to understand why Bnei Israel are being reprimanded, we need to understand the purpose behind korbanot. Exploring this question brings us to a long-standing debate between the Rambam, Maimonides, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, and the Ramban, Nachmanides, Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman. Maimonides believes that the laws of korbanot were given as a concession to Bnei Israel as they began their relationship with God. As he says in his philosophical treatise, the Mora Nevuchim, the Guide to the Perplexed, the general mode of worship in which Bnei Israel were brought up consisted of sacrificing animals in temples containing images, to bow down to those images, and to burn incense before them. It was in accordance with the wisdom and plan of God, as displayed in the whole creation, that he did not command us to give up and to discontinue all these modes of worship. For to obey such a commandment would have been contrary to the nature of man, who generally clings to that which he is used. For this reason, God allowed these rituals to continue. According to Maimonides, the idea of having a temple, an altar, and the ability to bring a korban is a concession, part of a two-step process. First, we use familiar rituals to help establish our relationship with God, and then, when we are ready, we will no longer need them to get close to God and find other ways instead. Think, if you would, of a child learning to ride a bike, who begins to ride independently with training wheels until he or she learns to balance and no longer needs the training wheels to ride the bike. Nachmanides vehemently disagrees with the idea of korbanot as a concession. According to Nachmanides, korbanot are not a means to an end. They are considered to have an intrinsic value all of their own. They are a reich nichoach to God, a pleasing smell. How can we view them as a concession, as a means to an end? In his commentary to Sefer Vayikra, the book of Leviticus, Nachmanides offers this approach. Seeing that human conduct is expressed in thought, speech, and action, God instituted that a person who has committed a transgression and offers a sacrifice shall place his hands on it as a reminder of the misused power of speech, and burn with fire the legs, instruments which serve men in all of his activities. The blood shall be sprinkled on the altar, representing his own lifeblood. All this should make the person realize that having sinned against God with his body and soul, he would deserve to have his own blood spilled and his body burned. However, God, in his infinite mercy, accepts this substitute for an atonement and its body in lieu of his, its main organs in place of his. So the Ramban feels, Nachmanides feels, that the korbanot are what God has always wanted us to do, and we should realize that we really deserve to be the sacrifice ourselves. While both the Rambam, Maimonides, and Ramban, Nachmanides, disagree about the origin of the korban, they agree on the following, that the main goal of a korban is lekarev, to get close to. One brings a sacrifice, one brings a korban to get close to God, and that the most important component of the korban is the intention behind one's bringing the korban. All of this serves as an introduction to help us understand Asaph's frame of reference as he stands up before Bnei Israel and rebukes them about the korbanot they are bringing. Why is Asaph rebuking Bnei Israel? We see, or rather, we hear him speaking in the name of God who has come to judge his people. I will read the psukim and loosely translate after reading them in Hebrew. Pasuk Zayin, for example. Shim'a amim va'adabera, Yisrael va'aida bach, Elokim Elokecha anochi. Listen, Israel, I, God, your God, am warning you. Lo al zevachecha ochichecha, ve'olotecha lenegdi tamid. My critique has nothing to do with the amount of sacrifices you are bringing. Rather, it is about something else. Lo ekach mi beitcha far, mi mlcholotecha atudim. I don't need to take a cow from your house, even if I wanted meat, nor any goats. Ki li chol chayto ya'ar, behemot beharerei aleph. I own all the animals of the forest and the animals of the mountains. Yadati kol of harim viziv sadai imadi. I know where all the birds are nesting and the birds of the field. Im erav lo amarlach, ki li tevel imloa. Korbanot do not come to satisfy me. I own the whole world. Ha'ochal bisar abirim v'dam atudim eshte. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, neither eat nor drink. Do you think that I need to eat the meat of the korban or drink the blood of the goats? The main point of Asaph, speaking in the name of God, is to criticize the people who are bringing a korban. The people believe that God needs the korbanot, that they are somehow appeasing him by sacrificing an animal. There is no sense of contrition. We are bringing a korban because we have done something wrong. There is no sense of remorse. We are sorry for our actions and will never do them again. There is certainly no sense of trying to get close to God. In other words, Bnei Israel are action, all action, no thought, and God is incensed. In addition to the topic of korbanot, God is also rebuking a portion of Bnei Israel, specifically those who are wicked. And again, I'll read from the Hebrew and loosely translate. V'larasha amar Elokim, malacha lesaper chukai, v'tisa v'riti aleficha. Everything until now, God was speaking to the whole nation, now addressing the wicked. You do not have the right to tell about my laws, since you do not keep them. Ve'ata saneta musar, v'tashlech devarai acharecha. You hated the musar given, the rebuke about following in the ways of God. Im ra'ita ganav v'tiretzimo, v'im min'afim chelkecha. If you will see a thief, you run to him with love. You are one of the adulterers. Picha shalachta v'ra'a, u'leshonecha tatzmid mirma. You use your mouth for evil and sneakery. Teshev ve'achicha tedaber, beven imcha titen dofi. You sit in a group of bad people and slander with them about others. You sit with your brother from your mother, who's considered a closer type of brother, and then speak with him in a derogatory way. Ela asita ve'hechirashti, dimita heyot eheyecha mocha, ochichacha ve'erecha le'inecha. After you have acted in this way, can I keep quiet and not punish you? If you think that you can act any way you want and then bring a sacrifice, you've got another thing coming. Binu nazot shochochei eloka, penetrof ve'in matzil. Remember that wicked people turn you away from God and mitzvot. If you don't understand this and improve your ways, you will be destroyed. Asaph's concluding line to the Mizmor echoes the last line of the first part and drives home the theme. Zoveach toda yechabdanani v'sam derech erenu b'yesha elokim. The man who brings a korban toda, I consider it as if he honored me. The korban is not food for God, but a symbol of the honor a person gives God. That is why the most praiseworthy korban is that of todah, of thanks, of gratitude. Such a person will see salvation. Let's go back to our original questions. Who is speaking? Asaph, the chief composer. To whom is he speaking? To Bnei Israel in the name of God. What is the main focus of his mizmor? Rebuke. Rebuke about how they bring korbanot, and rebuke about how they are behaving. What is the context of the mizmor? Why would Bnei Israel have gathered to hear the words of Asaph? Amos Chacham, author of the Dat Mikra volume on Tehillim, and from whom I got the loose translation, suggests that it might have been at a time of religious upheaval, like during the days of King Chizkiyahu or King Yoshiyahu, where the land of Israel was purged of idolatry and a new breed or covenant was consecrated with God. It may have been during the holiday of Sukkot, which already contains an element of judgment and assembly and renewal to commitments with God. In fact, the Gemara Sukkah, page 54a, notes that during the time of the Second Temple, it was a custom for the Levium to recite this mizmor during Chol HaMoed Sukkot, the intermediary days of Sukkot. I would like to add one question to those that we asked at the beginning. What should our mindset be when today we recite this mizmor? I offer two and leave room for you to find your own. The first, that in the absence of actually bringing korbanot, we should concentrate on what we can do to find ways to get close to God, to remember that it is all about the intent. And the second, that in getting close to God, we should conduct ourselves in ways of which he would approve, to stay far away from the wicked and from their slanderous actions, and to find ways to honor the name of God, and to call to God and to remember to call to God in our time of need. Thank you.
Thank you for studying together, Li'ului Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Zvi Yosef.